ओम ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome everyone. It's so nice to see you all tonight. Hare Krishna. I'm going to start with an invocation, asking the Lord for His grace so that we can discuss His glories. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Tadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhascha Kripasanubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Gopremanande Haribo. How is everyone today? Good? All right. Do you have any questions before I start? Yes? Hi, Krishna. Thank you. Where are the microphones in case devotees have questions? Anyone have a question? Okay, Ramananda Saka Prabhu, go right ahead.
We were reading Srimad Bhagavatam. There it was said that Shishupal, when Shishupal was killed by Lord Krishna, using Sudarshan Chakra in the assembly where they were performing the Rajasoya sacrifice, Shishupal actually merged with Lord Krishna at that time. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada also wrote that he achieved liberation of impersonal Brahman. But we also hear that he is a doorkeeper of Vaikuntha.
Yeah, Prabhupada explains that in the third canto in a purport. He said it's not the final destination, that impersonal liberation. Yeah. Any other questions? I'm going to read a couple of verses from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the book I have here. It's written in Bengali and also in Sanskrit, and it describes the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we've been reading so far over the last week about scriptural evidence for there being an incarnation of God in the age of Kali Yuga. According to the Vedic literature, there are four primary ages that move in rotational system. And there's a golden age called Satya Yuga, And then there's Treta, Dwapara, and Kali Yuga. And once the Kali Yuga finishes, then the Satya begins again, for it's cyclical. Very much like the seasons. Here in California, we have four seasons. And they pass through in cycles. So in the same way, these various ages come and go. And in each age, the scripture talks about how there are incarnations of God that appear, and they give what is called a Yuga Dharma, or for the specific age, a prescription for spiritual practice that one must follow in order to make rapid advancement in spiritual life. Would you all like to move up? Why don't you come up close? Everyone come up as close as you can, because unless it's uncomfortable for you, it's more fun. There's a seat right there, right in front of you. Move up, fill the gaps. That's better, huh? Look, it's Mayapur Vihari. Everyone with me so far? Four ages: Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali Yuga. In each one of these ages, God incarnates in order to teach a system that people can follow in order to perform sacrifice. Means yajna, and by that yajna, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one can perfect one's life. So in Satya Yuga, the method for worshiping God and attaining perfection is through meditation. Kind of atmosphere in Satya Yuga is very conducive to that. There's no cell phones. Cell phones ruin everything. They also give you cancer, I hear now. Everyone's throwing their cell phone out the window. Many distractions in Kali Yuga. And also, it's described in the Shastra. Anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. Don't get me started on Kali Yuga. Satya Yuga, people are very saintly. They're especially qualified for meditation because they're situated in sattva-gun. Sattva-gun is the modality of nature. The material world consists of these three modalities: sattva, rajas, tamas. So sattva means goodness, which is characterized by light and virtue and self-effulgent knowledge, the ability to distinguish between matter and spirit, determination in doing one's duty. These are all characteristics of sattva-gun, goodness. And then rajas, which means we translate as passion. It's the modality of movement for the sake of movement. There's always somewhere more to go. We can't stay in one place. As soon as I make it to the city council, then I want to be the mayor. This is too high, Ramananda. Can you turn it down just a little bit? And soon as I become mayor, then I want to be governor. As soon as I become governor, I want to become president. I don't know what's after that. But there's always movement in Rajagun, and it's a passion to improve oneself materially. There's no satisfaction in that mode, whereas in Sattva-gun, there's some satisfaction. What is the satisfaction? It's the satisfaction of knowing that you exist. And in Rajagun, the dissatisfaction comes from thinking that you have to become something else than you are now. We actually are eternal entities, as Krishna describes in the Gita in many places in the second chapter. Na tvevaham jatunasam na tvam nemi janadipaha. He says that to Arjuna on the battlefield, that all the warriors and he himself are individuals now, they will be individuals in the future. They've always been individuals in the past. There's no point at which the individual is extinguished or merges and becomes something that he's not now. He's an eternal principle. This is also confirmed in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna asks about the nature of the soul, and Krishna says that his nature is the Atma, and that that principle is eternal. And in goodness, one can understand that I am the Atma, I am the Self. Once I was in Hawaii, and I was invited to speak at several classes at the local junior high. Actually, it was a grade 1 through 6, then junior high, then high school. Progressively, we spoke in 3 classes, and each one of them was a higher grade. Not having had much experience teaching Krishna consciousness to kids, I admit freely that I failed miserably to connect to those kids. I could tell by their body language, playing with pencils, sitting there like, you know, when's this guy going to stop? Any of you who are teachers, or maybe even parents, I don't know, may have had this experience. But there was one other devotee with me who had a lot of experience. Out of deference to my, age and such, he let me go first, which is probably a mistake. And then he, who was more expert, stood up and he gave a very brilliant presentation to the kids. And it started with a game called Simon Says. Does anybody know how to play that game? Simon Says, touch your head. Simon Says, touch your left shoulder. Come on. Simon Says, touch your right shoulder. Simon Says, touch your nose. Simon Says, touch your right ear. Touch your left ear. Okay. Anybody who touched their left ear is out of the game. Okay, but you're still in, right? Because you didn't move? You stay. You're good. Okay, so he did that. He played that game with them all the way through. And, of course, it winnows out all the people who aren't listening very intently because it's an impulse, just, you know. And so there was one kid left in the class. And then he said, Simon says, point to yourself. And the boy stood there wondering, and all the kids, ha, 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 ha. He said, so, we don't know what the self is, do we? And then he had everyone's attention. And he stood up at the blackboard, and then he drew, he wrote Atma. And then he drew a body, and he showed the heart, and he showed that the Atma is within the heart. And he explained the version of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, describing how the living entity, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hride Ishara Juna Tishtati, Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudrani Mayaya. Krishna says the body is a yantra, it's a machine. And the living entity is riding on that machine, and the Supreme Lord is next to the living entity in the heart. So in Rajas, one can't see this. Rajas, the mode of nature, which is described as smoky or cloudy, one believes I'm my body, and one tries to make improvements on the body. Last night, when we went and chanted the Hare Krishna mantra downtown, as Nirkula and I were approaching the Harinam party, we walked up the street, and one of the shop owners from the shop named Infinite Beauty came out of the shop and said, what's this for? And so I gave her a book and explained to her what we were doing. And I said, we'll come back later and chant in your shop, okay? And she said, okay. So that's why we went back later, because I had made a... And when we were walking down the street, she put up her fingers like there was only 2 minutes left. They were cleaning the shop. That's why I ran for the shop. But I was thinking afterwards about this infinite beauty, because when we went in the shop, they had all kinds of serums and lotions and potions to make one infinitely beautiful. And I thought, that's futile. And it should be called finite beauty. And just be honest about it. But in Rajas, one endeavors for this idea, infinite beauty of the body, and one's position in this world is never secure. Even at the time of death, people think, oh, you know, I didn't leave enough to my kids. I should have left a bigger inheritance and so forth, and how are things going to go on without me and such. This is the typical mentality of somebody who's affected by rajas at the time of death. And tamas is a very troubling mode. It's a mode of inertia, non-movement, darkness. If anybody's had the experience where you know you have to do something, but you just can't do it, you can't move, you don't feel like getting up, this is an effect of the mode of tamas or ignorance. And I say it's a troubling mode because even though one, it can even be injurious. For instance, people engage in activities like taking intoxication, which is injurious to the body. In fact, I was just in Thailand, and I was checking into this little, tiny little motel we stay at when we're transiting there. And on the counter, the person before me was checking in, and they had left a package of cigarettes sitting on the counter. And on this package of cigarettes, they have a picture of a person who has lung cancer. And they have tubes going in their mouth and stuff like that. And it's gruesome. And I thought, that's really strange. And then I noticed when I was at a little convenience store, all the packages of cigarettes, they all have some gruesome picture. It's a law there. I don't know if it's law everywhere now, is it? I haven't seen any here, but in Thailand, not here? In India, too, they put this picture. And I was thinking, how can somebody pull a cigarette out of that and smoke it after you see that picture? You know, you see a picture, they have pictures of people with all kinds of different cancers they got from smoking cigarettes. Gruesome pictures, shocking. And still, puff, puff, puff. That's tamas, that's ignorance. So all these modes of material nature affect living entity in the material world, and one must rise above the modes of material nature through the process of devotional service to become freed from this material world and engage in devotional service. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashochati Nakankshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. So how to do that? We've been reading in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita this topics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he's the incarnation of God who appears in Kali Yuga. In Treta Yuga, the mode of sacrifice is by performing fire sacrifice. It's an authorized means in the Vedas through which Vishnu appears in the fire and one offers various ingredients to satisfy him, like ghee and grains that go in the fire. We have some of those sacrifices nowadays. And you can see in South India and other places in India, people do these fire yajnas. But they offer a few little handfuls of ghee and a Chiquita banana or something. But, you know, when the ghee is of doubtful quality, it's hard to find pure ghee nowadays because there's not many goshalas where they actually protect cows and such, and the ghee becomes contaminated. So these kinds of fire sacrifices are very strained in Kali Yuga. But in that age, they offer tons and tons of bona fide pure ghee and grains and so forth in the fire. And this way they perform a sacrifice to satisfy the Lord. And in Dwapara Yuga, temple worship, opulent temple worship, is the prescribed method of sacrifice. And you can see, I was just in Montreal recently, and in Montreal, there's a cathedral there called Notre Dame, and it's magnificent cathedral. And one of the beautiful wonders of the world, when you walk in, you feel overwhelmed by the grandeur of that place, built out of large stones, carved stones, and the artwork is breathtaking. And just the size of the inner sanctum is impressive. And at one time, these kinds of, that's not even from Dwapara Yuga, but you can imagine in Dwapara Yuga, the kinds of temples that people were building And the kind of worship that was going on inside was breathtaking. And even the Jagannath temple is an example. Nowadays, I mean, even Kali Yuga is coming on so fast. The Jagannath temple is being surrounded by all these luxury hotels now. It's so crazy. People want to go to the Holy Dham and then enjoy sitting in a swimming pool or something. But previously, that's the biggest building in town was the Jagannath temple. And from any perspective, miles and miles away, that's what you would see, is the temple with a flag. It's pretty much nowadays, that's still the way it is, although there's a lot of high-rise apartments going up and things like that. But that was Dwapara Yuga, specifically for that kind of worship of the Lord within the temple and building these huge temples. But in Kali Yuga, like in Montreal nowadays, not only is the Cathedral of Notre Dame there, but there are hundreds of these magnificent old churches, really magnificent. And they're all being sold and turned into co-ops, means apartments. And they're taking the pews, pews are these benches that people sit on in churches. You know what a pew is, anybody? Yeah? So the pews are these benches, wooden benches. So I said, what are they doing with all of them? And the person told me they mostly sell them to skateboard parks. Because in skateboard parks, you know, they have to jump up and scrape across all these different surfaces in order to have an experience for skateboarding. So they actually sell all these wooden benches to skateboarding parks. And I was thinking how appropriate for Kali Yuga that the churches and temples and so forth will be dismantled and used for skateboarding parks. That gives you an indication of how the Kali Yuga goes. So temples, churches, mosques. The Notre Dame temple, by the way, is maintained because it's a tourist attraction. Otherwise, it's not possible. They can't maintain all these churches. They just start leaking and they say, we can't afford it, and they just sell it. Because nobody's coming to these churches anyway, not in masses. Of course, Joel Osteen and some of his, they have some mega churches that are like football stadiums. But those are football stadiums. They're not churches. I mean, they're there for a spiritual purpose, but the grandeur and things like that is pretty much lost. It's kind of, in a sense, the environment is a little bit drab or even grotesque. So Kali Yuga comes along, and what is the prescribed method in Kali Yuga? Chant Hare Krishna. It's congregational chanting. It's like what we did the other night to go anywhere, either in your house or on the street or, you know, any kind of place that you can congregate and sing God's names. You don't need instruments. There's no hard and fast rules. You can clap your hands. But if you sing God's names, you will attain perfection in the Kali Yuga. This is what all the scriptures say and recommend. So in each age, there's an incarnation of God that specifically comes and teaches the Yuga Dharma. And in Kali Yuga, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita was showing us over the last few days how the scripture points to the yellow incarnation in Kali Yuga. Each incarnation of the Lord has specific characteristics and colors and so forth. Krishna is blackish. And then there are other incarnations that are reddish. Lord Ramachandra is green. And in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is golden. They say yellow or golden, but he has that color, that golden hue. Suvarna varna hemango varnangas chanjanangidi sanyasya krishma shanto nishta shanti purayanaha. The Vishnu Sahasranam Stotram. Who knows the whole Vishnu Sahasranam Stotram? Jai. Jai. Within that stotram, Suvarnavarna Himango Varangaschan Janangadi Sanyasya Krishna Shanto Nishta Shanti Purayanaha. This is a description of the incarnation of God in Kali Yuga, who will appear as a very peaceful sannyasi in the color, golden color, Suvarnavarna Himango. And he'll according to the Shastra, he'll spread this Yuga Dharma, the chanting of Hare Krishna. So that's what we've learned that from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's very useful information to know what the prescription is for attaining perfection. And this is, of course, we have a little temple here. It's not a Notre Dame Cathedral or anything like that. But we come here specifically to enact the Yuga Dharma and to teach about it and so forth. But anyone can attain perfection in this age by taking this direct approach to God, to connecting with God through the Yuga Dharma of Nam Sankirtan, that is, chanting God's names. And not only do we chant it congregationally, it meaning the names of God, but we also take to it as an individual practice of meditation. So by sitting anywhere or walking and concentrating on repeating the names of God, especially recommended through our sampradaya, is the Maha Mantra, which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. This mantra is a supreme combination of syllables. This is how it's described, as a combination of syllables which are non-different from God himself. Possible? Absolutely. Krishna can appear in any form, and he does appear in sound. Shabdake purushamnishu. It says in the Bhagavad Gita that I am the sound in ether. He says, I am the Omkar. And Omkar and Hare Krishna are the same, except for Hare Krishna is much more specific. And when it comes to developing affection for God, which is what we're really after, we're not interested in merging with God. We're interested in serving God and developing love for him. The more specific the name, the more intimate the practice. Those who know your nickname, for instance, well, it might surprise you if you're walking down the street and say, you know, where? Mozambique. Anybody been to Mozambique? I hear it's a wonderful place. At least it's in a song that everything is unique in Mozambique. So say you're walking down the street in Mozambique and Mayapur Bihari Prabhu, what is your nickname? What does your mama call you? Milu. So say you're walking down the street in Mozambique thinking everything's unique in Mozambique. And then suddenly from a window, someone says, Milu. You'll spin around so fast and look up and say, who knows my nickname? And in a similar way, God has many names. Some names... Hare Krishna. Some names are called primary names and some names are called secondary names. What a secondary name means, it's name of God, but it's in relationship to his pastimes in the material world. God has pastimes in the material world related to the creation of the material world. It's called the Srishti Lila. He creates the material world and then oversees it and then it becomes destroyed. This is the topic of many descriptions in the Puranas, like the Bhagavat Purana and many other Puranas describe this Srishti Lila of the Lord, how Mahavishnu glances over the Mahatattva, the material energy, and the living entities then are impregnated there, and the whole process of creation begins from his glance and so forth. And the material world is a place in which people, I should say living entities, are affected by the modalities that I described. And their general tendency is to ignore God. That's what starts the whole thing. And so it's not such an interesting place for Krishna because people are ignoring him. I mean, how do you feel when someone ignores you? Not very good, right? If you go to an interview and you start ignoring the interviewer, you're going to bomb out fast. Start looking at your watch. When's this going to be over? And like, so the material world is a place of ignorance. Ignorance means ignorance. And the names of Krishna in this material world relate to his overseeing this place of ignorance and his creation in the material world and so forth, like Jagadishwar and Paramatma and so forth. But the names Hare Krishna have to do with his intimate relationship with his most dear devotees. So when we say the names Hare Krishna, everyone please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
That this attracts Krishna's attention. Just like when my poor Bihari's walking by now and we say, hey Milu, he'll come really fast. Now we know the secret. And so this is a secret. And in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to teach this secret about how God's a person, about how God has an intimate life. It's not that he's just a creator. That's kind of boring stuff. And he says in the Bhagavad Gita, when he describes the whole creation, he says, yeah, but that's nothing. I don't even do that. I just send one of my expansions to do that. He's got much more interesting things to do. And those are going on in the topmost realm of the spiritual world. They're called Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka namni nijadamni tale tatasya devi mahesha haridama suteshu teshu te te prabhava nichaya vihitascha yena govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Brahma, in his Samhita, a very important chapter of the Brahma Samhita, we have chapter 5, that's all we have. The rest has been lost. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rescued that one chapter. But in it, Lord Brahma describes the entire philosophy of Vaishnavism. And this verse I've quoted tells the hierarchy of realms, beginning from Devi Dham, which is the material world, which is overseen by Durga. Durga is sort of it's like a foster home. If you run away from your real parents, you end up with bad foster parents. And although you're maintained, you get 3 meals a day. They're not very good. And the parents don't take care of you very well. They may even abuse you. That's not very good either. So this Devi Dham is like that. It's not our home, and it's also not comfortable at all. It's a reformation. It's a reformatory. So above that, there's other realms, and if you keep going up and up and up and up to the top realm, you have Goloka, which is Krishna's own realm, where that's home. That's the home of Krishna. And these names, the primary names we speak, Govinda and Madhava and Hare Krishna and Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan and so forth. These are names that relate to that realm. And so in the Gita, Krishna says, Yanti deva vrta devan pitrin yanti pratirvrta bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mam yajinopi mam, which really means you can go wherever you like. All these realms are there. And we have the freedom, the actual independence to choose where we want to go. Krishna is not a religious fanatic. He doesn't condemn you to any realm. He gives you the information and says, you choose. But you need information to know what's available. And once you know that, you can use your power. You have power. Your power is in your attention, where you turn your attention. You have that power to turn your attention in a certain direction. You can use that power to go back to that realm, Goloka Vrindavan, just by turning your attention there. If you want to go there, Krishna says, you can go there. If you want to go to hell, you can go there too. He's not recommending it at all. But some people that see the pack of cigarettes, here's hell right on it. And then, puff, puff, puff. I'll go to hell, I don't mind. This is ignorance. So one has to come out of ignorance. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to not only teach the process to go back home, back to Godhead, but for anyone in any situation of ignorance in this material world to gradually become purified of these lower tendencies. And practically speaking, in a very short time, one who takes to this process given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can experience for him or herself that one's senses become purified. And you can experience that by seeing for yourself that the pushings of the senses are no longer exerting themselves over you. They no longer have the same power they did before. That the senses, which are compared to bad masters, say, do this. Say, I don't want to do it. You have to. Why? Because I said so. I'm hungry, you eat. And you eat this. It's a conditioned response. But as we get knowledge through the process given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we become freed from these bad masters. And labdhabhuti, which means we gain our impetus, our spiritual intelligence, and we realize, I have my own freedom and my prerogative through which I can direct myself. This is yoga. Yoga balena, strength through yoga. By practicing the process given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the prescribed method in Kali Yuga, the chanting of Hare Krishna, one gains this kind of strength and can see for oneself that I don't have to follow the bad masters of my senses. I can chart my own course. This is a revelation. When one sees this for oneself, one can see, now I'm actually making advancement in the process of yoga. And you don't need a certificate from someone else, because when you're hungry and you eat food, you know directly that you're getting satisfied, that your hunger is going away, and that you're getting nourishment. You feel it in your body and in your mind. It's like sometimes when I get hungry, if I miss a meal or two, my wife looks at me and goes, you need to eat. Because I get in a different state of consciousness. She goes, you're hungry. And as soon as I eat, then she goes, hey, how are you? You know, oh, you're over here. Okay, good to see you again. And in the same way, in this morose state of material existence, when one begins to chant Hare Krishna, which is the primary process, and follow other kinds of prescribed ways of living, then very quickly one can experience from oneself this change of attitude and the ability to direct one's own destiny, so to speak, on a minute-to-minute basis. Because that's where our destiny is cast, in the very moment that we're considering where to place our attention next. That's where we're going. Yanti deva vrita devan pitran yanti fritir vrita. Right now, we get to decide. In every moment, we have a decision to make. Where am I going to place my attention, and so forth. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching us all this, that anyone from any situation of life can attain complete perfection through this chanting of Hare Krishna. And one very interesting twist of fate is that in the Kali Yuga, and I said I'd get back to this, people, according to the Shastra, in general, are disqualified. So unqualified and disqualified for spiritual life. And the sages at Naimasaranya knew this. When the Bhagavatam was being spoken 5,000 years ago, they knew, just as a farmer knows winter's coming. It's come before. In the past, they know it follows right after fall, it's going to come. And so the sages who assembled at Naimasaranya knew that Kali Yuga was coming, and they were describing what are the ills of Kali Yuga, saying in a Kali Yuga minute, but short lives. They're quarrelsome, they're lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above, always disturbed. How's that for a package? And they wanted to know, how will we do good for them? What will be a process that will save them from this plethora of disqualifying features? And so the disqualifications of Kali Yuga, in one sense, are a blessing. Because along with disqualification, oftentimes come dispensation. For those in a country, for instance, who are most unfortunate and can't help themselves, the government comes in and gives aid. He says, just bring in the trucks and feed the people. What else are we going to do? They're going to starve if you don't feed them because they can't help themselves. If you live in a fourth world country, you know there's about third world countries. According to economics, there are fourth world countries. Those are countries where it's been, the economists have decided that this place will never get on its feet due to the geographic makeup of the place. You're never going to get any crops. It'll always be flooded and so forth. And people, and so they're going to constantly need aid from the government. So in the Kali Yuga, because people are so unfortunate and so unqualified by the nature of the age, that there's special aid given. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to give this aid. And he says, okay, just feed everybody. Just give them directly the process. And in one way, it's better than the other ages. Because of being so bad, and because people are so unqualified, that Krishna decides, just give it to them. You don't have to wait. You don't have to have any special qualities. You just take it, as long as you can do that. And Prabhupada gives an example that if you're very poor, and a man comes in with a big bag, and he says, well, I've got $2 million in here. I used to say a million, but it's not enough anymore. I've got $2 million in this bag. And I'm going to give it to you, but you have to reach out and take it. Can you do that? Can you? That is a big question. Can you move your arm and grab the bag or not? So in a sense, this is Krishna's coming in Kali Yuga and saying, here, take it. I'm giving you the highest thing. Just take it. Amazingly, still, they said, no, thank you. I'm fine. I'm fine without it. This is Maya. This is a complete illusion. Therefore, it's said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates went out of their way to make people take it. It's not so easy to get people to take things, even if you have something really nice. Can they take it? There have been other religious campaigns around the world where, for instance, the Inquisition, where the conquistadors went around and they said, you know, take it or die, we'll kill you. And they killed a lot of people, imposing some ideas from their philosophy on other people and so forth. So it doesn't necessarily mean people will take. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Ananda made the process so attractive. It's Kevala Anandakanda. It seems like a big party, like just singing and dancing and eating and stuff like that. And people in Kali Yuga is like, oh, okay, I can do that. There's a lot of people say when they come to Krishna consciousness, I came for the food, you know. This philosophy stuff, this is laziness in Kali Yuga that I mentioned. One of the disqualifications, everyone's lazy. Is it philosophy? Nah, I don't read so much. You know, give it to somebody else who will read it. We get this all the time when we show the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most eloquent and most sophisticated literary production anywhere on the planet. Anyone who knows language and has studied rhetoric can see, if they enter into this even a little bit, that this is profound, indicating a culture above and beyond what anyone could ever imagined historically thousands of years ago when it was written. It's indicative in the language itself. And have a look. Nah, I don't read. Give it to somebody else who will read it. What are you going to do instead? I don't know. Anything else but that. This is laziness in Kali Yuga. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this process, Kevala Nanda Prana. All right, just eat. Nice prasadam. and chant Hare Krishna, and then gradually you'll come to the perfection of life. Now, the basis of this, of all religious philosophy, doesn't matter what it is from whatever part of the world, it's fine. It doesn't matter. There's no sectarianism in this at all. It's based on the standard or quality of its purity. In the same way that we judge gold by its purity and by no other standard. We want to know, when we get a piece of gold, what is its purity? And therefore, when you buy a gold minted coin, it will say right on it that it's 99.9% pure. And 24 karat gold is pure gold. And if it's pure gold, then that's fine with us. We don't care where it came from, right? Are you with me on this or what? We don't care where it came from. I don't care if it came from China or Mexico or Mozambique. As long as it's pure, I'm fine with it. So in the same way, whatever religious philosophy we're talking about, it's inconsequential. What we only want to know is, what is the purity? What is the purity? And therefore, in the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author says, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach is completely pure. It's unmotivated devotional service. That's the aim. The aim is unmotivated, uninterrupted service. It means I'm not asking God for anything. I don't want wealth. I don't want to cure my withered limb. I'm not asking for a good adjustment in this material world at all. I have no interest in those things. This is a very elevated concept. This means I don't want anything from God. I'm not praying to him to solve my problems. I accept whatever problems I have right now as my own. They're not something imposed upon me by someone else. Whatever comes to me now, I did it. I'm the cause of that. So put that aside. I'll just take care of that part of my life. The other part is, now I just want to serve God. Because up to this point, I've been serving the bad masters of my senses, and now my interest is, I want to serve in an unmotivated, uninterrupted way. That's not so easy. There are so many little pockets of conditioning within the mind and heart of someone who's been in the material world for some time, any time. It's a hazardous place. By association, one picks up concepts and ideas that are detrimental to one's self-interest. And therefore, purification, or coming to the point of having unmotivated desire to serve God, is not so common. So this claim at the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that this book is about unmotivated service to God is a very important claim. And uninterrupted. Now, even if one does have a desire for unmotivated service to God, then how are you going to make it uninterrupted? Because right now, I have so many obligations because of my past debts that I've incurred in the material world due to my taking. When you take, you have to give back. Anyone who has ever had a credit card knows this. You can spend all you like and think that everything's going fine, but then later on you have to pay it back. It's shocking sometimes. People don't even know it. They run up a big debt, and then someone reminds them, you know, you owe $40,000. Did you know you owe $40,000? Did you know you ran up a debt of $40,000? I had no idea. Need a little debt counseling. A little credit counseling, how to take care of your... And so everyone in this material world's running up all these huge debts all over the place. Life after life, just spending, 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 taking, 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 never giving back through sacrifice. And then when I'm born, the debt's following me. Devarshi bhutapnam rinam pitrinam na kinkaro nayamana nicharajan sarvatmaraya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihrita kartam. The Shastra comes along and says, You're a debtor. You're born into debt. Huge, crushing debt. That's what karma is. You owe. Little baby's born and go, you owe something, Schnicky. Welcome to the world. You better get working, man. We're going to feed you for a few years, but then you're going to feed yourself because you got to go to college. You got to get a bank account. That stuff's painful. It's a hassle. But that's what every little jiva has to go through because of all the debt in the material world. So clearing that debt means one has to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's a process that is taught here following the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See, this is Rajas, a lot of activity going through now. There's a debt we have to pay. There are implications for us being in the material world. So how to come to the point of unmotivated, uninterrupted service to the Lord? This is the subject of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But people want to know, what's in this book? What's in it for me? These are teachings which will make you perfect. They will make you perfect. There's nothing about this book that there's not one slight imperfection in the book itself and in the teachings. It's completely and utterly focused on unmotivated, uninterrupted service to the Lord. Every word, every sentence, there's nothing in it that will misguide you into more debt in the material world. And so that's what we've been studying. And we're actually counting the days until the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is coming up on March 16th, which is Sunday, March 16th, not this Sunday, but the Sunday after. And we'll be celebrating the day in which God, Krishna, appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. That's what our movement, our Krishna conscious movement, is based on. It's based on following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why we talk about him so much. That's why we have a whole book called Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is about his life. And it's not just about his life, which is lila. It's activity beyond these three modalities. And therefore, it is just by hearing it, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyakva deham punar janma naiti mameti surjana. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you just know about the activities and the birth of God, then you become liberated. And therefore the lila means the activities of God that are beyond karma. They're beyond the three modes of material nature. They're extraordinary also. If you just study those, you just hear about them and know what they are, you'll become liberated. But beyond that, there are also instructions, very specific instructions in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about how to apply the principles of devotional service in your daily life if you live in Fremont, or if you live in Milpitas, or if you live in Mountain View, or San Jose, or Burlingame, or Redwood City. You can live in Redwood City and practice pure devotional service. You may be the only one on your block, but you can do it. And it doesn't matter where you live, and it doesn't matter where you came from even. You can practice pure devotional service. And this is in the book itself, in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the instruction about how to attain this lifestyle, how to live a lifestyle. Live a lifestyle? How to apply the instructions of devotional service, pure devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said poetically that the living entity is wandering in this material world aimlessly. Aimless wandering in the material world. And that wandering living entity becomes fortunate when he comes in contact with the sadhu vaidya, which means a spiritual doctor. And the spiritual doctor gives instructions and hymns. Instructions and mantras. These two things got a little bag, like doctors used to have back in the old days. And they make house calls. They come to your house, and you see that little bag, and then you know for sure they're a doctor. And in that, they have instructions, and they have these hymns, and they can give, administer those and prescribe them for you. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sends out his representatives to give out these hymns and instructions. So in much of the section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are the instructions. So today, I'm going to read one verse about an important instruction. This is coming to us in the form of the narrative of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in the world and the reason he appears. Actually, it's very detailed and esoteric, and there are many chapters dedicated to explaining why he appears in this world, because Krishna has many motives for coming. He has his personal motives because he has his own personal life. And he also has other incidental motives, which is to give everyone the process of Krishna consciousness, as I've just been describing. I'm not going to go into the personal motives that he had that are described in this book for coming to this world. But one of them is to distribute Krishna consciousness, and the person who is responsible for inviting him to come to this world is Sri Advaita Acharya. And Sri Advaita Acharya is known as an incarnation of Mahavishnu, according to the scripture. But he appears as part of the entourage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming. Hare Krishna. Good to see you all. So I'm going to read the secret that Advaita Acharya discovered for calling Krishna to come to the material world to save the living entities here. But we've run out of time, so I can't tell you the secret. But thanks for coming, and we'll see you again next week. Hare Krishna. I think I'll have to have a little drink before I tell you. The verse actually has to do with water. Okay, here it is. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm not entirely convinced, but we'll see. Okay. Okay, so the verse 103 in chapter 3. While Advaita Acharya was thinking about how to propitiate Krishna by worship, the following verse came to his mind. Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. Advaita Acharya considered the meaning of the verse in this way. Not finding any way to repay the debt he owes to one who offers him a tulsi leaf and water, Lord Krishna thinks, there is no wealth in my possession that is equal to a tulsi leaf and water. Thus, the Lord liquidates the debt by offering himself to the devotee. Considering in this way, the Acharya began worshiping the Lord. Purport. Through devotional service, one can easily please Lord Krishna with a leaf of the tulsi plant and a little water. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:26, a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or some water, patram bushpam palam toyam, when offered with devotion, very much pleases him. He universally accepts the services of his devotees. Even the poorest of devotees in any part of the world can secure a small flower, fruit, or leaf, and a little water. And if these offerings, and especially tulsi leaves and Ganges water, are offered to Krishna with devotion, he is very satisfied. It is said that Krishna is so much pleased by the devotional service that he offers himself to his devotee in exchange for it. Srila Advaitacharya knew this fact, and therefore he decided to call for the personality of Godhead Krishna to descend by worshipping the Lord with tulsi leaves and the water of the Ganges. This is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he is easily pleased by bhakti. A little devotion, just a trace of devotion, atapite deva padam bhuja dvaya prashada leshanu grihita evahi Brahma, who's the great demigod who creates the whole material world, realized this, and he gave this verse where he said that you can't know Krishna by any elaborate process, but if you have even a trace of devotion, I mean, what is a trace anyway? It's just a few molecules. If there's a trace of the scent of a rose, it means that a couple molecules were left behind when the rose went through the room. 257? Oh, okay, good. And can I have a Gita also? So just by one molecule of pure intention to serve the Lord, one molecule of pure intention to serve the Lord. Ellie needs this. Thank you. Is enough to attract the attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And nothing else will do. There's not anything in this world that will attract the attention of God, Krishna, except this sincere attempt to please him, which we call bhakti. And if one can find within one's heart that one molecule of sincerity for pleasing Krishna, then he can attract his attention. In fact, in this verse which we're hearing now, the Lord sells himself to the devotee. This is Krishna's nature. He's so grateful to someone who has this kind of devotion. And you don't have to be a great sage, and you don't have to be from a high birth, and you don't have to have exalted qualities or any kind of beautiful physical characteristics or extraordinary characteristics of any kind. If you have one molecule of this pure intention to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you'll immediately attract his attention. This is what the secret Sri Advaitacharya discovered. He just, in his consider that he was thinking, how can I bring Krishna here to benefit everybody? And as he was thinking about him, the verse came into his mind. That's another indication of how bhakti works. Krishna says in the Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam danami bhuti yogam tam yenamam upayantite. He said, if you just have a little bit of an intention to serve me, then I'll give you the intelligence how you can do it. So Advaitacharya had this intention, I want to bring Krishna here to benefit everyone in the world. Because he couldn't stand it that people were suffering in ignorance, that they had forgotten the path of devotional service. It had become polluted by all kinds of materialistic ideas, and that he could not tolerate. That's a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav means one who cannot tolerate seeing the suffering of others. And a Vaishnav knows that real suffering comes due to ignorance, nothing else. If someone's in ignorance and you hand them a sandwich, they're still in ignorance. If someone's in ignorance and you give them a roof over their head, they're still in ignorance. But if somebody's in ignorance and you give them knowledge, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Gyanagni Sarvakarmanam, that acts like fire to burn up all their miseries, all their debts. Which is real? What is the real compassion? To give the fire of knowledge. So Advaitacharya Prabhu had this intention to bring God to this world to teach everyone the direct process of devotional service. And he felt that the ignorance was so overwhelming that he couldn't do it. And he thought, nobody can do this except God himself. No one can overcome the thickness of this ignorance. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he thought of this secret. I'll offer Ganges water and Tulsi leaves to the Lord, and I'll ask him to come. And he'll have to come, because that's what it says in the Shastra. And Krishna will honor it. He'll come, and he'll save all the people. And that's what he did. And what does that mean to us? In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada just referred to this verse, which is in the 9th chapter, 26th verse, in which Krishna tells what his preference is, what he'll actually accept. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, for the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, in order to achieve a permanent blissful abode for eternal happiness. The intelligent person means not how well you did on your SATs, but it means someone whose spiritual intelligence has awakened. Everyone please move up by 7.2 inches. And if there's 72 people in the room and each move up by 7.2 inches, how many total is that? Engineers? There's a huge gap right here too, by the way, which may negate any of the progress we made. Continuing in the purport, as long as everyone's okay still, the process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy and can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor without any kind of qualification. The only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure devotee of the Lord. It does not matter what one is or where one is situated. So this is the non-sectarian universal process of pure devotion. It can appear anywhere. It doesn't matter. We're not talking about religion or ritual or sectarianism. We're talking about is the eternal nature of the soul to have a relationship with God. That relationship we see manifested in this world. I have a relationship with my pets, with my family members, with my president of the United States. And everywhere we have these relationships. It's the nature of the soul to have relationship, which means rasa, which means exchange of love or rancor or other kinds of feelings. But there is exchange. That is the nature of the soul, to have that impetus to love others, to exchange with others. And that is meant for Krishna. When we went in the store last night to chant Hare Krishna, some of you were here, many of you were on the chanting party last night. It was last night, right? Yeah. You know it was a good chanting party when you can't even remember what happened. When was that? Last night, yeah. And we were invited to come into one of the beauty shops down there. And the name of the shop was Infinite Beauty. And I was just inside thinking, how can you have a shop for infinite beauty? And, it's just not going to work. But Krishna consciousness does work. It does bring out the infinite beauty of the soul. What's really beautiful is when there's this exchange of love between the living entity, the tiny living entity, and God, and how God caters to the living entity. That's beautiful. That only love is beautiful, nothing else. And so anyone from any place at any time in any situation can invoke this right that they have to surrender to God and to serve him and to express their devotion to him. And that's what this verse means. when he says patram pushpam talam palam toyam, he's saying a leaf of water, flower, fruit, or water. That is indicative of the universal access to pure devotion, to bhakti, and that is that you can get water anywhere. Anywhere. You can get a leaf, at least a leaf, anywhere. I was once up in the mountains, and I brought my deities because I carry them wherever I go and do a little puja in the morning. And then I realized I forgot to bring flowers from you know, down here in the valley, and we're way up in the mountains. And I thought, now what am I going to do? And I went outside looking for flowers, and there was nothing. So I thought of this verse. Well, it'll take a leaf. But there were no leaves either. There are only pine needles. And I was thinking, oh, Krishna, are you going to take this? I don't know. It's all I have, you know, please accept, you know. I gave him some pine needles and it's got a little scent. I don't know if you'll take it or not, you know. But the idea is that anywhere you go in the three worlds, you got to find something, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. Those things you can find anywhere. It means you can perform pure devotional service anywhere, at any time, in any place. It's universal. And you can experience for yourself the appearance of God in your life. It's not theoretical. It can't be theoretical. Otherwise, you won't be able to practice it. We don't live on theories. We live on love. We have to have that exchange. It has to be there to satisfy the soul. And this is what the sages at Naimasaranya say. There is no other satisfaction in this world other than this love that one has for God and the enactment of it. Not theoretically, but actually giving oneself in the dark recesses of your room when no one else is watching, when there is no witness. You continue to give your heart and soul to God and say, I want to surrender to you. I want to give myself to you. And you offer whatever you can offer at the time. Gajendra, who is an elephant who was captured by a crocodile while he was in the water, was helpless, helpless living entity. Even though he was a big, powerful elephant, he thought in his life, I'm good. So everyone thinks in their life, I'm good. Right? I live in California. I'm good. I have, you know, I have money. I have food in the refrigerator. I have a refrigerator. I'm good. I have paper towels that actually work. They don't work in India. They never heard of Brawny and all these different brands. But I think I'm all set. And that's what Gajendra thought also. I'm good. I'm all taken care of. I'm a big, strong elephant. He even had a little intoxication to make himself a little relaxed so that, you know, nice and cozy here in the material world. Advertisement that was for liquor, malt liquor. When I was a kid, they used to advertise. They said, this malt liquor, it gets you cozy. That's how they advertise. Everyone wants to be cozy here in the material world. And then take this, you get cozy. So he was cozy. And next thing, crocodile grabs his legs and starts pulling him under the water. And he said, what is this? This is not cozy. This is horrible. And that's what happens. That is exactly what happens to everybody. The phone rings and you go, you got some bad news. You got some bad news. And it'll happen. It always happens. Always happens. Always happens in the material world without fail. We're all in the same situation as Gajendra. And what could Gajendra do? Nothing. He was struggling for his life and he finally realized, nothing I can do except pray to God. And he even apologized as he did. He said, pure devotees who have the opportunity to serve you, don't ever ask you for anything. They don't say, please save me even. That's the nature of a pure devotee. He doesn't even say, please save me. He just said, I just want to serve you. I don't care. You don't have to save me even. Beginner said, my apologies, there's a crocodile on my leg right now, so please save me. And what could he find? A lotus flower that happened to be in the water. He had his trunk available, he pulled the lotus flower out with his trunk, And with a prayer that he remembered from his last life, that's also the mercy of God, that he remembered prayers from his last life when he was a human in the body of a king, and he became an elephant in his next life. He was able to remember those prayers. God even gives us the facility to worship him. Not only does he accept the worship, but he reminds us, here's how to do it, as he's doing with the Dvaita Acharya. Here's how to worship me. He'll tell us how to do it and give us the facility. And all he needed was that lotus flower and the prayer that he offered to the Supreme. Said, from my heart, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are great. I'm insignificant and I'm your servant eternally. And Krishna accepted it. He came and saved him. So this is the great secret of pure devotional service, which we are spreading to the best of our ability, first in our own heart. Because without taking it oneself, one has absolutely no moral right or potency to give it to others. One must accept surrender and the process of pure devotional service within one's heart, beginning with accepting responsibility for all the predicament that I'm in now. It's not God's fault. It's not President Obama's fault. It's my fault. I'm in this predicament because of what I've done, because of the choices I've made, because of being wrong-headed myself. Put that out of the way. Take that off, the burden off one's back. Put it aside and then be clear. What is important? Love. Not things, not money, not my position in this world. Those things are not important. They'll go away. I had this experience when my father got Alzheimer's. He was a professor at the university, and he was a very thoughtful person. And at one point, we had to put him in a place over in Walnut Creek on the East Bay, where he had round-the-clock assistants, people to watch out for him, because nobody could do it. It's very difficult when someone gets Alzheimer's to watch out for them. I mean, they can hurt themselves, they can wander off into the wilderness and never come back and so forth. And he reached that point. So I was in the Alzheimer's home, and I was seeing how all these patients that were in there had a life before they came there. And now it had evaporated. Their sense of who they were was no longer. And as I left that place, I was filling up my car at a gas station, and I saw a man drive up in a new fancy car, and he jumped out, and he was filling up with gas. And I was still in the state of thinking about how tenuous is life, how tenuous is my sense of my position in the world, and who I am, and what I have, and all these things. And I perceived from him, perhaps condescendingly, but still I was thinking, he thinks a lot of his car, and he maybe thinks, I have a good position in life, and I am such and such from Walnut Creek, California, or Lafayette, or wherever he lived. And at any time, that can ebb away from one's life. It's not guaranteed. You can't keep anything, including your position. So we can consider these points and offer ourselves in advance, while we have the window of opportunity, as servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the best way to do that in this age is by the process of chanting Hare Krishna, because it engages the senses. You engage the tongue and the ears, and you can express yourself through your words. As you say the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can feel that pure devotional service in your heart. You can identify it, and you can bring it out in your voice. You can say it to God. He's there. He heard the words of Hiranyakashipu challenging Prahlad Maharaj, saying, where is your God? He appears. He can appear anywhere and at any time. He actually exists everywhere in every atom. And he's within our hearts as well. So we can, in a tangible way, call out to him. through chanting his names and saying it with in a devotional mood. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended one do regularly. He also recommended that one hear from the scriptures every day, because this will fortify your intelligence. If you read Bhagavad Gita every day, you'll be the smartest person in Silicon Valley. Everyone else may think they're smart, but they're not. The person who reads and appreciates Bhagavad Gita with his or her intelligence each day is the smartest person in Silicon Valley, because you develop spiritual intelligence by worshiping the Lord through reading the dialogue and appreciating it. What to speak if you start getting into Srimad Bhagavatam? Then you become very much attached to God, and he becomes very much attached to you. Through these scriptures, you actually develop a relationship personally with God, with Krishna, through the words, through the lines, through the verses of Bhagavad Gita, where he speaks directly to you. And then there's the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's no dearth of scripture. And one may take advantage of this. No one can stop you. These two very practical ways of practicing pure devotional service, and then, as recommended in this verse, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam, one may try with one's heart to offer something to God. So we eat every day, we can offer the food that we eat. Find out what to offer first so you don't make an offense, because there are certain things that are objectionable. And one may argue, well, he just says a leaf, a flower, fruit, or I can offer whatever I want. There's more information. This is a basic instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Pancharatrik scriptures, which are equally as authorized, there is very clear information about what are the best things to offer. And if you love someone, you'll offer what he or she really wants and not concoct something and say, well, this is what I want, so this is what I'll offer. That's not love. Love means you think about it long and hard, what I'm going to give to my beloved, and then you go out of your way to get that, to procure it wherever it is and make sure it's the best. So this is the idea behind devotional offerings, which one can do in one's very home. You can offer a nice apple. Yeah.
I just looked up the meaning of pine needles, the dictionary, and it says that it's a needle-like leaf of a pine tree.
Okay, I feel better now. Yeah. So these three things: chant Hare Krishna, read the scriptures, and offer your food to God. It doesn't require fancy Vedic mantras to offer your food to God. It only requires that you have a sincere desire to follow the spirit of this verse and, my Lord, please accept this offering. You can put before a picture of Krishna and just say, please accept this offering. It's from my heart. Then take, and you'll experience something profound. So that's practical. And that is also what Advaitacharya is showing us. And as an introduction to the sublimity of the chanting of Hare Krishna, which at first to the materialistically conditioned mind that wants to engage in jumping around like a drunken monkey. Monkeys tend to jump around, especially the little brown kind. Not the langur monkeys. The langur monkeys are so subdued. We just saw them in Mayapur. You know the langur monkeys? They're very large. They have tails as long as the Bay Bridge. And they have a black face. They're really beautiful. There's something to behold. We walking back and forth to our residence in Mayapur from the temple every day, we'd see them out there. And they're very calm and collected and so forth. Even the neighborhood dogs would come over. And I saw the monkeys would be sitting on the fence, and the dogs would come over and, you know, like, what's that? You know, and also mixed with the feeling of, like, you're in our territory, but they weren't quite sure. They wanted to go after him. And the monkeys just kind of looked at him like, you know, whatever, you know. But the other monkeys, what they call Rhesus monkeys in Vrindavan, they're like little motorcycle gang guys. I think they should have little jackets, little Hell's Angels jackets on. Like, you want a piece of me? You looking at me? Because if you look at them, they're like, what? What? And then they go around breaking everything that's not broken yet as their main occupation in life. And the mind is like that. The mind is like one of those little monkeys. And then someone once said, if you get one of them intoxicated, he happens to pick up a bottle of Bagpiper, you know, one of those little Rhesus monkeys drinks that, then what's he going to do? And so the mind is like a drunken monkey. It wants to jump from here to there and for no reason whatsoever. There's no earthly reason for the mind to go where it goes. It just does. And that's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, prajahati yata kaman sarvan parta manogatan. What does Krishna say about the mind? It just goes. It just goes. Manogatan means the mind goes. It goes and goes and goes and goes like a drunken monkey. So yoga means to control that drunken monkey. Give him something, you know, to really concentrate on. And when you bring the mind under control, then your life becomes happy, peaceful. You become productive. You can decide where you want to go and make a success in life. And that is yoga balena. That's the strength of yoga. That's the discipline that brings one to the higher echelons of spiritual practice. And so we're going to try that right now. Anyone who wants to, you can try the practice. We're going to chant a round of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And any of you would like to try it on beads, we have Sundar Ananda Prabhu, who is an experienced sadhaka in this chanting. Therefore, he'll hand out the beads, some special potency when he gives them out. Anyone who'd like a set of beads, he'll give them to you. If you already have your own set, you can use those. And if you don't need a set or don't want a set, feel free to just chant along or just listen to everyone else chanting. What we're going to do is we're going to chant 108 mantras of the Hare Krishna mantra. And we'll do it in unison. Is that what you've been doing? In unison? And when we get to 108, then we'll stop and then you can experience what the vibration has done for you. And while he's passing out the beads, we have a couple of minutes, so do you have any reflections from what we've talked about so far? One thing that's stuck in your mind that you're taking home with you. When someone grabs you, when you walk out the door and they say, what was that guy talking about in there? You'll say what?
I would like to talk about that infinite beauty because it's Krishna consciousness which actually brings out the infinite beauty and not the cosmetics in the store. So that was
Thank you.
Catching.
Nice, nice. Yes. Here, we can pass that one back. There you go.
Yeah, I just wanted to share an interesting story about monkey, very short. So this November, right, when I went to Vrindavan, right, so a local devotee took me on the parikrama, so along the Govardhan, right? And then I asked him, like, how come there are so many monkeys here? And I don't know whether it's a belief or a fact, but he said, if you disobey your guru's spiritual orders, right, it seems you retake the birth as monkey. And so he was saying you should be very cautious in your sadhana and all. So that was an interesting story.
That is interesting. One more reflection, yes?
I like the point about the purity. Purity, you mentioned like how the gold, when it's 24 karat, you don't think that where it is belongs to. Similarly, the religion, like what Srimad Bhagavatam tells, that talks about the pure devotional service that is unmotivated and uninterrupted, and it is for all. It's not So if some person is really genuinely looking, he might be from any part of the world, he can accept this thing because it's a pure, and Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita is written for that purpose.
Nice. Thank you very much, Mukharvind. Yes, Mataji in the back. Yes, she was saying that whatever situation we're in,
we are responsible for it.
Yeah.
And there is also one more saying that without God's will, not even a strand of grass can move. They are like contradicting, right? So without His will,
well,
nothing
not
can
really,
happen.
Because the thing is, we're not dead stones. God gives us that gift of independence, so we get to choose. Although not a blade of grass moves without His will, we have the choice to obey or disobey Him. When we disobey Him, what we get is a reaction. And when we obey Him, we become perfectly aligned and happy. That's yoga. So we're not helpless. And therefore, the Vedanta Sutra says that the living entity must have the ability to improve himself. Otherwise, there's no reason for the Shastra. The Shastra has some purpose, and that is to inform us and reform us. And therefore, we have the ability to reform ourselves. So we're not dead stones. We're responsible because God has given us independence, and we can choose. Because I've chosen the wrong things, therefore, against His advice, therefore I'm in the situation I'm in now. And the fact that I may not remember them is not consequential either. Because there are plenty of things I've done that I don't remember even in this life. And people remind me all the time. And do you remember that? Oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't remember I did that. But I've done it nonetheless. What to speak of previous lifetimes? And all these things have a cumulative effect. And they come out in our lives in various ways. This is the very scientific and clear explanation of the Bhagavad Gita. Okay?
Thank you,
Guru. Hare Krishna. Oh, yes, a couple more and then we'll start chanting. Srivas Prabhu.
Can I just add to what you said?
Please.
As I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said Krishna is witness in the heart and He sees all your activities. It struck me, like, why does He need to see? Because He says, Vedaham Samatitane, I know everything that's happening in the past, present and future. I know what's going to happen with you. So why does He need to see? I mean, why does He need to be even sitting in the heart, even to see what I'm doing? Then it struck me that I have the independence and Krishna is seeing how I'm going to use my independence without, and then that point really made sense.
That's
just
nice. Yeah.
Just to add your point.
Really beautiful. Mataji?
I have a question.
Okay.
I do puja every morning. I do live very, I don't emit more pollution. I try to live green. I am vegetarian. So I do maximum what I can do to be pure. Now, but when I do my prayers, I remember that whenever Krishna found someone doing injustice to the society or anybody, He punished them. He took a great risk in His life, but He always protected truth. But in today's world, when I see that there is a lot of injustice happening to animals, a lot of injustice happening to even within human beings, there are layers and certain people are suffering much more than many of us. And I'm alone and I'm not able to make a difference to that, what is happening and which I'm seeing, and I know it's wrong. So I'm not feeling, my life has no problem.
So what's the question?
But
make it a question.
My life has no problem, but when I see all that is happening in this world, it makes me very sad and I'm not able to focus on my chanting because I think chanting alone is not enough. I need to do something like what Krishna did.
So what's the question?
How do I do that?
Chant Hare Krishna and teach others these two things. And then you'll be very happy. When you distribute when you give to other people, your heart opens and you grow. Giving means that you do the best you can to give those around you the opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. It's like magic. And as soon as we become aware of our own existential situation, we're immediately in anxiety. Even Dale Carnegie talks about it in one book called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. That if you're in great anxiety or pain because of some emotional reason, if you simply think about how to do good for others, then immediately that will dissipate because you come outside of your own limited perspective. So you can help others by distributing Krishna consciousness to them in the form of prasadam. You can give out prasadam, food offered to Krishna. You can also give people books. We have lots of books here, and many of the devotees go out regularly and distribute them to people so that they can read them and become enlightened. And also we go out and chant Hare Krishna. And if you do any one of those three things on a monthly basis, then I guarantee your anxiety will be neutralized or your money back. Okay?
I have been doing it for years. I do chanting daily, but still, this is not...
Distributing. I was saying three things, distributing to others.
But how does this change what I'm...
Just try it. That's my prescription. Just try it and you'll see for yourself. I guarantee it or your money back. Okay? You can't lose. So we'll get you some books. Malini, this is Malini. She'll take care of you. She's our co-Sankirtan director. Means she thinks 24 hours a day about how to give it to other people. That's her only business in life. And you might notice whenever you see her that she's got a huge smile on her face. I've never seen her morose. So talk to her. She'll set you up. And in a month, you'll be smiling just like she is all the time or your money back. Okay? All right, now we're going to chant Hare Krishna. So on the beads... You start on the big end. There's one central bead called the Krishna bead, so don't chant on that bead. And there is a big end and a small end. Maybe some beads you don't have that. So just start on either side. And we use these two fingers, the thumb and middle finger, to roll the bead. Each bead rolls like this. And you chant one mantra and then move to the next bead. And we'll chant 108 by going... from bead to bead till the very end, and then we'll stop temporarily. Are you ready? First, I'm going to say a prayer. Please repeat after me before we start. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Now please close your eyes and just feel the vibration for 15 seconds. So the Shastra, the scripture says, there's a difference in the result of doing that and watching television. And the difference is profound. You'll end up on completely different sides of the universe or in the Lord's creation. So one way that you can advance in your practice, your home practice of devotional service, which is vitally important, you do this at home, not just come once a week, although that's good too. But if you really want to move fast, set yourself a goal for chanting on beads. We have a table in the back that's specifically dedicated to helping you get started in your home practice. These beads are available to those who don't have them. If you intend to chant and you make a vow to at least chant one round a day, then I think the beads are how much? Free? Or just a few dollars? And if you'd like to take the beads away and you don't make a vow, then they cost $100. So you can see Sundar Ananda. You can turn around, he'll wave to you. Wave to everybody. That's Sundar Ananda. You'll never meet a nicer person. Go up to him and you can discuss with him about how to get started. He'll give you some information about various levels that you can attain to by vowing to chant. What is it? One round? 1, 4, 8, 12, and 16. 1, 4, 12, 8, and 16. So you can make a vow for any of those and practice to it. And he'll help you week after week. He'll be at the table. You can go tell him what's going on. You can check with the other devotees to see how you're advancing. And there are names for these different levels so that you can feel like you've come to a certain platform. And that will, guaranteed, that alone will help you move forward in your spiritual life in a very profound way. Okay? Hare Krishna. Anything else, Sundar Ananda, you'd like to say? It's okay? Okay. Everyone happy? Okay. I'm happy too. So let's continue the chanting. What we're going to do now is we'll put away the shastras that we have in front of us and the book stands and the asans, and we'll stand up. All the women can come to this side and all the men can stand on that side. And then we're going to have a grand kirtan right here in this little hall. We're going to rock the neighborhood with a kirtan. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And thank you to everyone who joined online tonight. It was a pleasure having you with us. Hare Krishna. Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.